Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of Galatians. Galatians is in the New Testament or second half of the Bible. If you find your way to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's where we discover the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who is the Son of God. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a teacher. He didn't just have some good advice. We believe that Jesus was the Son of God who saves us from sin, from our sin. And because of that, we place our trust by faith in him. So you'll find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you'll find the book of Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then the book of Galatians, and that's where we've been anchoring ourselves throughout this summer, and that's where we will continue today. We'll be in Galatians chapter 3 now. And one of the things that I, you know, get as I began this, again, my study for this chapter is I was reminded that I don't like it when people point out things that I'm not doing well or aren't working. In fact, if I'm working on something, my wife's grinning over here. She just gave me the look because she knows. If I'm trying to work on something and she sees something of why it's not working, but I don't see it, and she peeks over my shoulder and says, hey, you might want to try this. I'll be like, oh, I got it. Because I got an ego, right? I got an ego, and I don't like to be told when things aren't going right. And it's humbling to be told when you think you're trying to do something and it just simply isn't working, and somebody points that out, you take a shot to your ego. A couple years ago, I was trying to lose some weight, and I have an affection for ice cream at night, and those things don't really go together, losing weight, ice cream at night. But I kept on like working out and running during the day, but I'd still be eating my ice cream at night. And so I'm not just talking about like a couple of scoops. I'm talking about, you know, ice cream and fudge and whipped cream and cherries. And I mean, that's the really good stuff, right? And so I'm eating that one night, and one of my kids comes by and says, Dad, aren't you supposed to be on a diet? We don't like it when people point out the obvious when things aren't working. But sometimes we need it. Sometimes we need somebody who's going to tell us something that we don't want to hear, but we need to hear it. Sometimes we need somebody to come alongside of us, and when we're struggling with our self-esteem, but yet we're on social media all the time looking at everybody else's perfect life, and all of a sudden we're going, why does my life stink so bad? Why is it so horrible? Well, maybe you need to get off social media so you're not doing the comparison game all day long. Or if you're dating somebody, and let's be honest, you know deep down inside that that person is not marriage material. In fact, you're a young lady here today. Someone might need to come up to you and say, that dude's a jerk. You don't need to be with that person. You may not want to hear it, but it might be the exact thing that you need to hear in your life. And when it comes to sin, we don't like people to point it out. And we feel like we're trucking along and we're working along and we've got our eyes fixated on this thing, and somebody comes along and says, you know what? I don't know that that is the best for your life. And we struggle with that because it's difficult when somebody points out something that we know isn't working. And Paul comes along in Galatians chapter 3, and he doesn't mince words. He's very direct, and in some ways, sometimes that can be frustrating to us. Because he's so direct that we can be offended by it. And when we're offended by it, we miss the message that he's actually trying to communicate. But I pray this morning we would have ears to hear and eyes to see what he's trying to communicate to us. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, he says this. Oh, foolish Galatians. Just insert new lifers there, right? Come on. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Now, the reason he can speak to them like this is because he loves them, and they know that he loves them. It's kind of like when you have that family member who can speak to you one way and you can speak to them one way, but if somebody else outside the family speaks to them, then you got issues, right? Man, so you have this idea that Paul is going, you know what? You guys are acting foolish right now. And the reason you are acting foolish is because you guys are so fixated on the law. You have forgotten that your transformation, the spirit that resides in you, came not from the law, but from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so you have become so fixated on the law, as we've learned the last couple of weeks, so fixated on circumcision, the Galatians were fixated there, and that somehow that makes you a part of the family of God, that you have forgotten, you have missed what Jesus Christ has done in you and for you. And now you're wandering because you are just too fixated on this thing that you think you need to earn God's approval. And the language that he utilizes reminds me that sometimes we get fixated on things and we miss what else God is doing. I'll be honest, my wife will tell you, I'm someone who gets fixated on things. She's someone who can multitask. I am not. When I'm watching TV, she thinks I'm ignoring her. I am not. I literally don't hear anything else that's going on. When I make toast, I make toast. That's all I do. I literally stand over the toaster and I look at that toast, and that toast is golden brown when it's ready to go. I don't burn my toast. When we go down to the beach for our bonfire, I don't even like s'mores, but you know what I do? I toast all the marshmallows. And I get down there and I find the hot coals and I will meticulously turn that marshmallow until it is toasted just right. I get fixated on things. And the Galatians are fixated on this idea that the law is what we need, because some Judaizers came along and said, you know what? Faith in Jesus Christ is not enough. Faith in Jesus Christ is not enough. You need to be circumcised. You need the law. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. You need to do that. And all of a sudden, they're so fixated on these other things other than faith in Jesus Christ that they have forgotten the picture of Jesus that they were given when Christ changed their lives. You know that picture. If you've experienced transformation by Jesus, you probably remember that moment when you experienced the flooding of his presence and the power of his Holy Spirit, and you were reminded that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. When you were reminded that it is only through Christ Jesus that I can be saved. And you probably can think about the emotions, but what happens is that picture dulls over time and we forget about that transformation and we begin to look to all kinds of other stuff to save us. And Paul's saying, you're forgetting that picture. Unfortunately, we do this in other areas of our lives. When someone comes into me and a couple comes in and they say, hey, we're struggling with our marriage. We're struggling with kind of our relationship. You know what usually is the problem? They've forgotten their vows. Like, they still know them cognitively. They remember saying for better, for worse, or richer, for poorer, in sickness and health. But what's happened is they have forgotten to live out those vows, and forgetfulness leads to foolishness. Have you ever been in a job? And what started out as you going to school and being passionate about something and you going, hey, I'm going to change the world in this occupation, ends up turning into a grind that you despise because you forgot why you got into it in the first place. And you forgot the passion, and it no longer is what it used to be. And Paul's saying to the Galatians, and he's saying to us, don't forget what Christ Jesus has done in you. Because when you forget what Christ Jesus has done, all of a sudden you turn to foolishness. And you start focusing in on the wrong things. Verse 2, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. Paul's saying, you know what? Did you receive the power of the Spirit that changes your life, the Spirit that transforms you, the Spirit that severs the sin that is in your life, the Spirit that moves you from death to life? Did you receive that through the law? He said, of course not. Then why do you keep on returning back to religious activities as if somehow that's where the power is? And we do the same thing. We tell ourselves, you know what, if I just go to enough church services, if I just go to enough Bible studies, if I just do the religious activities enough, that somehow we try to plug into those as if that's where the power comes from. And Paul's telling the Galatians, he's saying, you know what, the power is not in the law. The power is in Jesus Christ. Plug into that. His presence is where the power of God is. And so it's not by the law that you've received the Spirit. It's not by the law that you have been given the Spirit to be transformed by the power of God. It is through the Holy Spirit as you place your faith in Christ Jesus. How foolish can you be, verse 3? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? Surely it wasn't in vain that you experienced faith in Christ Jesus. Surely it wasn't in vain that your life was transformed. Surely it wasn't in vain that Jesus Christ has given you a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a 100th chance to have new life in him. Surely it wasn't in vain. And yet what happens is we're like, hey, you know what, Jesus, thank you very much. Thanks for this new law on life. Thank you for forgiving me from my past. I think I got it from here. I think I've got my future. I think I got the day to day. I can handle this. Thanks for what you did, though. That was really cool, the whole cross thing, resurrection thing. That was awesome. Great job. I got it. I got it now. And the reason we do that often is because we look around and we say, you know what? I'm not seeing transformation as fast as what I thought it was going to happen. And I look at my life and I'm like, oh, there's these areas of my life. I'm not sure God can handle that, so I need to fix those myself. I don't know if he really understands what I'm going through, so I need to work harder in this area. I don't see him really doing what I think he needs to do in my marriage, or I don't think I see what think he understands how difficult this area of my life is. Shouldn't this be working faster? And then we start looking at our life and we see areas of sin that we still struggle with and we're like, oh, then I can't really be, I'm not a real Christian then if I still got these areas of sin, so I might as well just give up. And instead of moving closer to Jesus, when we start to recognize this, we move further and further away and we start to look for other saviors in our life that we think is gonna bring about that restoration. And the reason is because normal is so much more comfortable than new. And we know normal. We know how to navigate our lives. It might lead to destruction. It might not get us anywhere, but at least it's normal. It might not be healthy, but at least it's normal. New is difficult. New, you got to find a different way of doing what you've always thought you've been doing. New requires us a new practice. New requires a new mindset. New requires a different strategy for dealing with sin and brokenness. And what Jesus has introduced is a new strategy. And it's not about us working harder. It's about more of his presence in our lives. It's about flooding ourselves with more of his presence. We have a tendency to focus and fixate on things, what I want to call right now situational sin. Sin in our life that we're thinking here going, okay, how do I fix that? The problem with that is there's always more of that. And so we get done with one and we're on to the next one and then on to the next one and on to the next one and on to the next one. And it's exhausting because we're never dealing with the systemic issue of sin in our lives. And only Jesus has the power to break the chains of systemic sin and brokenness in our lives. The law is never going to fix that. It's going to discipline ourselves, but it's going to be exhausting in that discipline. And what Jesus is saying, I have come to give you life and life to the fullest. And I want to flood you with my presence. Because when I reign in your life, I take care and I give you victory over those other areas. In fact, think of it this way, and I know this is a fine line, but here's the trap I think we fall into. I need to change for Jesus. Think about this for a second. I need to change for Jesus. Sounds pretty good, right? Sounds like, hey, that sounds like really Christian. Maybe I should tweet that. No, don't tweet it yet. I need to change for Jesus. Problem with it is, it's all about you and what you bring to the table. It's all about your wisdom and your power and your strength. It's all about what your works can do. I need to change for Jesus. I know this is a fine line, but it's a significant one. Rather than thinking this way, I need more of the presence of Jesus to change. Think about the difference between those. One of them's dependent on us. I need to change for Jesus. I need to figure out how to get this sin out of my life. I need to figure out how to fix myself and fix my marriage and be more Christian and be all these other things. And I need to go to church more and I need to go to Bible studies more. I need to do all these things in order to fix myself for Jesus. The other one says, I'm incapable of fixing myself. Therefore, I can't do it. I need the power and presence of God to flood my life, to transform me because I can't do it myself. And here's what happens for so many of us is we spend most of our lives trying to fix ourselves. We spend most of our lives trying to figure out how I can fix the various aspects of my life. And we look at our lives and we try to fix it and it just seems like sin keeps on coming up more and more in us. It feels like brokenness and sin and destruction keep on pouring into our lives, and it makes our lives darker and darker and darker. And we look at this and we say, you know what? I get it. I need a savior. And so we ask Jesus to come into our lives and we ask him to move in a powerful way and to forgive us from our past. And when we ask him to do that, we think, wow, Jesus, that is so cool. God loved me so much that he sent you, his one and only son, to die on the cross to forgive me of my sin. So all that sin in my past, you know what, Jesus? Thank you so much for giving me a fresh start in life. But here's the issue, Jesus. Do you see all the sin that I'm still involved with? Do you see all the brokenness? Do you see that bitterness? Do you see that anger? Do you see that addiction? Do you see all those other things, Jesus? Don't worry, Jesus. Now that you've forgiven me, I'll take care of the rest. And it's like we go, okay, if I'm gonna do this, how do I scoop that stuff out? And we think, well, I've got my own wisdom and strength. Maybe that will work. And it takes a while, but we think, hey, you know, maybe I'm doing all right, but we keep looking at our lives and we're going, that's not making a dent. Well, maybe I should go to a Bible study more often because if I have a bigger spoon, then maybe I'll be able to fix myself. So we get a bigger spoon. We're like, man, that's not working either. Well, maybe I should start giving more to the church because then if I do this for Jesus, then maybe Jesus will do this for me. So if I just work harder and I give more and I give to the poor, then maybe that will happen. And when you look at our lives, we're like, I'm not making a dent. And if anything, I'm draining myself trying to do this and nothing's filling it up. We're like, I need a bigger spoon. So then we start going, man, I need a bigger spoon and it doesn't work either. And we're working hard and we're exhausted and our level is draining and we're weary and we're broken and we're saying, what is this Christianity, the whole thing? Jesus forgave me from my past, but I'm not making a dent in the sin in my life. And so we've tried all the law. And we've tried to make ourselves righteous, and we've tried to fix ourselves, and we try to make ourselves better, and we don't make a single dent. We're still bound in sin. We're still bound in bitterness. We're still bound in our marriages. We're asking ourselves, how can I save this marriage? And we're going on, we're not making a dent trying to fix it ourselves. And here's what the gospel says. You don't need more work. You need more Jesus. You need more of his presence in you. And so what you're asking yourself is, how do I invite more of the one who says his name is above all names and whose power is greater than my anger and whose strength is greater than my brokenness and whose ability to heal is greater than my addiction? And you say, how do I flood myself with that? Because he says he is full of living water. He says his name is above all names. And he says, you know what, that sin? I'm not about having a scooper. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pour more of myself into you. And I'm gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna give you more of my strength and more of my love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I'm gonna continue to pour more of myself in you because my living water doesn't stop. Those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good keep coming back and they desire to know who Jesus is. He wants to share more of himself with you, more of his presence, more of his power with you. It's about saying, Jesus, you reign. It's about hooking ourselves up to the source of real living water. It's about hooking ourselves up to the source that never runs dry. It's about hooking ourselves up to the source that doesn't say, I will give you kind of life, but life into its fullest. See, we spend so much of our time trying to say, how do I fix my marriage or my anger or my brokenness going like this? He says, what if I just flood you with my presence? What if I reigned in? What if as a couple, we turned to Jesus and said, we want more of you in our lives? It's all about his presence. In fact, in Genesis, at the genesis of sin in our lives through Adam and Eve, what is the very first question that God asks Adam and Eve? Adam, where are you? Where are you? Why? Because he knows that outside of his presence, there is no life. And what does Adam and Eve do? They go, oh, we sinned. Now we're ashamed. How do we fix it? Let's get some fig leaves. Let's try to fix it ourselves. God says, no. I fix it. My presence, my living water, my desire is to pour more of me into you. My spirit. It is by his spirit that we can walk victoriously. It's by his blood, not the law, that we are saved. It's in his presence that we experience victory. And I believe some of us have been trying to break the chains of bitterness in our life and selfishness. And we've been looking at it and we know, we recognize it's an area of our life that is broken and still bound to sin. We look and we know the areas of addiction that we have. We look, no, and again, you don't even need someone to point it out to you. You know internally, there's an area of my life. Maybe it's just complacency. It's the chain of complacency that said, you know what? I accepted Jesus Christ 25, 30 years ago, and I've just been putting it on cruise control. And I don't even remember the last time that I thought, hey, I am in God's presence. I know when I've been to church and I go to Bible study and I read the Bible and I do all the things that Christians are supposed to do. But I can't tell you the last time that I was in the presence of God. And God's saying, I didn't send my son and give you my spirit just for you to go through your religious checklist. I sent my son and gave you my spirit that you might know me and be known by me. The psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? If I go up to the heights of the heavens, guess what? You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, guess what? He is there also. From Genesis to Revelation, it's not about what you can do to get rid of sin and brokenness. From Genesis to Revelation, it's about what he is doing to make you new through his presence. And even at the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Why? Because his presence will be so overwhelming. And so this morning, the team's gonna sing a song, and I want to invite everybody to stand at this time. Everybody stand all across the sanctuary. And as they sing this song, I want to invite you that, man, if you're someone, and maybe again, maybe it's the chain of complacency and you just want to say, I want more of his presence in my life. Maybe it's your marriage that you guys have been working on and you've been trying to fight to save it, but you're trying to just work at it instead of surrendering yourselves to Jesus. Say, okay, we're gonna not stop doing things our way and we're gonna start doing things God's way. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's the chain of unforgiveness. Maybe it's the chain of addiction. Maybe it's the chain of pride. Well, what would happen if I went forward and said, I want more of Jesus? Simply this, everybody would say, hey, there's someone who's hungry and thirsty for more of God. Maybe you're thinking up in the balcony. It's a really long way to kind of go down the stairs and come all the way down here. And how far would a thirsty person go for water, though? And so as they sing this song, we are going to make this sacred space up here. We call it in our tradition sometimes an altar. Nothing magical or mystical about that. It's simply just a physical space for you to respond tangibly to what God is stirring in your heart. And so as they sing this song, I'm going to invite you, if you feel so led, to come down and kneel down here at the front and simply just for some of you, it might be surrendering afresh and anew. God, I need more of your presence in your life. And that doesn't mean maybe there's not even something sinful going on. Maybe it's just you're hungering and thirsting for more. I want more of Jesus. I want more of his spirit. I want more of his joy. I want more of his peace. I want more of his patience. I want more of his kindness. Or maybe you need a chain to be broken in your life. Or maybe you as a couple need a chain to be broken in your lives. As they sing this song, I invite you to respond by coming forward and kneeling. And then once we have sang the song, we're not gonna sing it 18 times or anything like that. We're gonna sing it one time. I invite you to respond as the Holy Spirit leads, and then I'll come back and I will pray and intercede over those that have responded. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would have your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've got so many people that have gathered here at the front, and some of them might be coming and surrendering their lives for the very first time to Christ. And so in a moment, I'll lead those who desire to receive Jesus' gift of forgiveness in a prayer that you can just repeat in your heart and mind. And then I'll pray for all of us. Every single one of us who needs a chain broken in our life that maybe we've tried so hard on our own. But God is the only one who has the power. I love that phrase we were singing, not by my might or my strength, but by the power of Jesus. He's the one who can break the chains. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you, and God, we simply thank you. We thank you for not giving up on us. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, for the expression of love that's displayed on the cross and the power of the resurrection. And God, maybe there's somebody here this morning that says, you know what? I'm tired of being bound to sin and death. I'm tired of being bound to destruction in my life. And I want to today place my trust by faith in Jesus. That it is through his work and his power and his sacrifice that I am set free to live free. And if that's you this morning, just simply pray this prayer of affirmation after me in your heart and mind. God, I admit that I am powerless against sin. That I am bound by destruction, mistakes, and things that I do that lead to brokenness in this world. And so God, today I declare I need a savior. And that Savior's name's Jesus. And I place my trust in him. By faith, I trust that he is greater above. He's greater than anyone. His power is greater. His name is above all names, that he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. I place my trust in him, believing as by what he has done for me, that I have life and life to its fullest. And by faith, I choose to start living in the power of the name of Jesus. And God, I also lift up those that have gathered and said, you know, there's a chain that I have been trying to scoop out of my life, trying to break, and I've gotten nowhere. And today I choose to place my focus back on Jesus, that it is through his power and his strength that he will guide my life and order my steps. And so I surrender this weary body, this weary mind surrenders and says, Jesus, I need more of you. And I declare afresh today that you reign in my life. You reign in that area of brokenness. You reign in that situation. You reign in that desire. You reign, God, in my life. May you flood my life with more of your presence. And in those moments where I feel like I have to hide from you, remind me, God, that I don't have to hide from you. I can run to you. Because you break every chain that tries to bind me up and to keep me enslaved. You set me free. And we ask all these things in Christ's powerful name. Amen and amen. Can we celebrate what God's been doing this weekend in every one of our services? He's been moving. Thanks be to God.